So study of facts and the relationships among themselves and the relationship with the ultimate, if such an ultimate exists, becomes a matter of logic. If you can show the interrelationship of facts and the relationship, the kind of relationship that exists, and this relationship becomes more and more significant when you can relate these facts to the ultimate reality. I shall now read out to you a few lines where Sri Aurobindo has given a definition of philosophy. There is a book called Essays on the Gita. By the way, when we shall study the Life Divine, I would like several books of Sri Aurobindo to be present with us, because as Sri Aurobindo mother herself has said, don't study Sri Aurobindo books by books, but by subject, and then you can take help of varieties of books of Sri Aurobindo, various books of Sri Aurobindo, and you can refer to them. So here is this definition of philosophy that Sri Aurobindo has given. This is how, it's page number 241 in Essays on the Gita. Philosophy is only a way of formulating to ourselves intellectually, in their essential significance, the psychological and physical facts of existence and their relation to any ultimate reality that may exist. I shall repeat, this is one of the greatest statements, in fact. Philosophy is only a way of formulating to ourselves intellectually, in their essential significance, the psychological and physical facts of existence and their relation to any ultimate reality that may exist. Now there are three terms which are very important. Formulating intellectually. That means you can formulate facts of psychology and of the physical universe, not necessarily intellectually. There can be other ways of stating the relationships, but not intellectually. It is only when you intellectually state the facts of psychology and physical world that philosophy arises. Take for example the first sentence of the Isha Upanishad. This is a very famous statement which says, all this that moves in the moving universe is the habitation of the Lord. This is the first statement. The second statement is, enjoy by being renounced. Do not covet anybody else's wealth. This is the first statement of the Isha Upanishad. Now you can see here the statement, the first statement and the second statement, they are not intellectually related. There is a relationship. Intellectually, afterwards, if you want to state, you can make a commentary on it. But the composer of Isha Upanishad did not want to make an intellectual statement. Therefore, Isha Upanishad cannot be regarded as a philosophical treatise. Upanishads are not actually philosophical treatises, although they can be rendered into philosophical statements. But it's a good example to show how, if you write philosophy, then you have to make an intellectual connection between statements that you make. The relationship between one statement and the other must have an intellectual connection. If you don't state it intellectually, it is not philosophy, it may be anything else. Your face is as beautiful as the moon. Now, this is not a philosophical statement. It's a poetic statement, because the experience of seeing that beautiful face gives you the imagination of a face of the moon. So you bring them together into relationship. But it's not an intellectual relationship. Philosophical or intellectual statement has to have an austerity. In fact, philosophy is a kind of an ascetic among all the studies. No dogma, nothing to be assumed, very rigorous, very austere. As Sri Aurobindo says, you have to look at the reality in itself, for the sake of the truth and truth alone, in colorless light. There has to be no color in it. And you can be a good philosopher only when you have this rigor. So it is only when you see the facts as they are, in their essentiality, then only you get that rigor. The face of the one whom you love may look like a moon, but is it really a rigorous intellectual statement? It's not, because it's a subjective feeling of the beholder, and who feels a kind of excitement about that perception of beauty. But in itself, is the face like the moon? Intellectually, can you show that it is exactly like this? It is this rigor that is required in philosophy. So there is an intellectual account. It doesn't mean that only intellectual accounts are right or valid. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that poetic vision is therefore false. No. It is a different way of approaching reality. It is a different way of understanding reality. But if you want to claim to be a philosopher, then qua philosopher, as a philosopher, you have to be colorless and rigorous in your relationship that you establish. That is called intellectual account. If you read The Life Divine, although Sri Aurobindo is supreme poet, but in the account that he has given of ultimate reality in Life Divine is that colorless, austere, rigorous account, intellectual account of the reality. And you can easily distinguish between Life Divine and Savitri. Savitri is a supreme revelation. It's also a revelation, the truth manifested, but it's a poetic revelation. Perhaps it takes you to the reality much more directly than philosophy, because philosophy has its own limitations of abstraction, whereas poetry gives you the experience of concreteness. It's a vehicle of experience. So there can be a poetic exposition, poetic understanding of facts, and there can be philosophical understanding of facts. There can be scientific understanding of facts and philosophical understanding of facts. As long as you simply state facts as they are, it is scientific account. It is intellectual account, but it is scientific account. But the moment you give not only the account of facts, but also the significance of the facts, an intellectual statement of the significance of facts, that is philosophy. An intellectual statement of the significance of facts, and then you go one step further. The intellectual statement of the significance of psychological and physical facts and their relationship. And that brings entirely the question of the logic. The logic of all these facts with an ultimate reality in which you discuss whether ultimate reality exists or not. when you do this exercise, and you do this exercise fully, then that is philosophy. Once we establish this statement of philosophy, we can then measure and appreciate the way in which Sri Aurobindo gives us the entire philosophical statement of the ultimate reality.